Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about podcasts while driving, basic low information strategies. That is, strategies proceeding ahead with low information. Now, there's obviously a trade-off that you can be very confident of proceeding if you have control of all the information. Now, probability-wise, this is not always going to be the case. Just randomly, that you may know a lot about certain areas, but you may have to, in your operations, deal with a low information thing. And there's a cost of getting the information or cost of meeting a particular deadline. Now, it comes to mind the US space program. They had low information, but they just threw huge amounts of money of it to produce it. And now it produced the Apollo landing. You know, the actual costs really escalated. And then they couldn't proceed like that forever. And so they've entered a phase of more effective spend of money, but with lower information. Now, you'll sort of understand it more to do with it. And this is the general thing, is that we have really evolved to be effective in a low information environments. And so a lot of the strategies which you may not like basically come down to how can you actually run something without actually knowing what you're doing. There's a fundamental aspect of it. And again, information strategy, I'll just talk about it ahead. It's at the basis of how I'm operating and running all these different different processes at the same time, and why you do it like that way. Now, another example where information theory is important and people sort of lose sight of it is the Brexit. I read a breakdown that had they actually planned the information theory and looked at the results, that is, you don't know what the result is going to be, but for the different policies, you, instead of having 8 parallel fall-over options that you all vote down, now you have a preference system and a pool system, and you can actually model what's going ahead. So lack of information going forward. Another, I suppose, the quintessential idea is that our information, low information theory, process, way of solving it, used to be by getting kings and powerful people, managers, who made decisions without information, but we sort of agreed that we'll go with their decision. Now, there's things that have occurred since this time. So what happens is you've got a situation, you don't know what to do, and what you say is, I'm going to transfer my lack of knowledge by passing that thing across to a manager who has got a veil of a barrier, social barrier. So the fact that they don't know doesn't get communicated to us. We are doing it because the manager has said so. So we're actually paying for low information in that low information fluidity. So that's basically what a manager does, and that is makes decisions based on very little information at hand, or insufficient information at hand, and then manages the risks. So essentially, it's a low risk thing. So there's many examples of it. However, over time, we have been chewing away with just what you can do with really poor information. Now, it comes from World War II, and you had the US, which is still an unimaginably large army spread over all the Pacific. That's 10,000 kilometers, units everywhere, people losing engagements, faulty communication, and they would get a series of casualty reports or strength reports with a certain probability and error associated with it, and a certain sensitivity that you can put to it. And these is very low information, but sufficient amount of low information brought together can actually say, give you an increase, not what the answer is, but where the answer is likely to be. And this is called simplex algebra. And simplex algebra answers these sort of complex, what seem non-algebraic solutions, allows you to work with the information you have to get as close as possible to the most logical answer. So looking at here, the mathematics is beginning to break down the barrier. One is game theory, thinking forward with game theory. And that's checking here, mute. That's one aspect, using game theory. Another is using mathematics, Bayesian logic, statistics to actually start to claw back. And this is a long distance away from what a manager is involved. And in fact, a manager really can't cope with, a manager cannot be a sort of an infinite, a ignorance membrane, and also deal with ignorance strategies. Now, we're going to wait here for an amber light here. So I am driving as we're going through here. So look, the issue that I want to talk is something really, really simple. And that is, when you in Australia, you're remote from, you're thousands of kilometres from suppliers, and what happens is that the equipment is stored in shelves and the quality system doesn't go through. So often when you're building complex robots or complex systems, you will be shipped a dud, or some of the information that you require to complete the task won't go ahead. So you have to build into the fact, into your Gantt project, that a certain failure rate. So, and you don't know what it's going to be, but you've got to get basic strategies up and running. So if you can compare this to our manager strategy, we don't know what's going to happen, so we get that coherently by having someone who's got at least a consistent idea of what's going to matter by actually concentrating decisions in one person. There's a sort of a different way of doing that, and that is to take a minimal thing of saying that I can, if I order or get a series of projects going, I can always be doing something. So in this case, wanted to build. So the strategic story is the moment that we, the way that we're teaching is fundamentally inefficient, and is locked by basically 19th century chemistry, you know, hardware. We can modernise it, and then we can reorder the way that we teach. And so there's an opening up here, a strategic opening that by doing this particular series of things, by making a beaker which measures the mass and temperature and pH all in one, heat and Wi-Fi, and it can communicate, all this, it becomes an intelligence beaker, we can redefine how far and the strategy. We're not dictated by the hardware which dictates the strategy, we're dictated by the mental capacity. And the mental capacity varies, and we can actually shape what we're doing to these mental capacities. And so that's with a Wi-Fi beaker. It's simplified. The simple stuff is easy to understand. The more complex stuff is more also easy to understand at both ends. So it's a win-win situation. And to this strategy, we're now living in an age where Wi-Fi is, and sensors are very, internet of things is just within reach. That is, practically, for $5, we can buy a sensor system. For another $10, we can buy a Wi-Fi module. For another $5, we can buy a battery, and we can actually build it. And so what there's the long-term strategy of, in general, we don't have a precise customer or a precise thing, but we do know that the benefit of doing this would be enormous. But also, we are in a system that we can actually select our way through. Now, I'll just sort of talk you way through what I did. Is that I obviously don't have a huge amount of money, and so what I did is, the first thing I did is I said, well, I'm going to buy a Wi-Fi system, test that out, and that's got to work. And I was able to get that, the Wi-Fi, and my LabVIEW to speak to the Wi-Fi of it. It just unbelievably simple. So you just ask it. It's on Wi-Fi. It asks, it goes, excuse me, can I get into the network? Go into the network. What's the IP address? IP address. And then you just say, LabVIEW, read the serial at this IP address. All right, thanks, that's done. You know, that's all you have to do. It's just one, I think it's TCP address, and you just put in the IP address, wire up the IP address. That's over. And then I put in two sensors. I bought a temperature sensor, and if I can say, the temperature sensor driver says, it doesn't say very clearly, this can only communicate through SPI. So SPI is serial port, something or other, serial port interface. Okay, and so it's a very draconian way before you have a sense of the internet. It's a pre-internet driver. And so it's a very hungry and very not very intelligent. And it's like the worst, the poorest cousin. And this particular chip only works with that, and which is okay. It took me a while to work out that it doesn't work with the more fluid one, where there's things on a clock and it's the address, it's looking for the clock, looking for the address, and then it receives a command, and then it's like the actual sensors are in their own little micro internet. It's a sort of a lovely little thing, the IC2. So that chip wasn't going to work as I wanted it to, but I could get it to, I could pick it, perhaps wire it up, because the SPI requires three wires. I forgot what they are. I think they're data send, data receive, and a clock or something like that. Something bizarre. So you can send it, and the little stuff I had just wouldn't compile. Okay, well, stop. I've got to where I want to with that, is I've learnt what I don't understand. Okay, we're going to come out of this soon. So this is low information process, and that's where you so when you like simplex algebra is dealing with low information in terms of recognizing it. This is the information coming in. And then in terms of this strategy coming out is where you start to plan for things not working, and that you want to optimize the parameter, that you are always going forward as fast as possible. And this is basically in a research, say if you're managing a research laboratory, and you've got multiple, so I've been, what's happened here? So within no time, in the middle of the night, I came here one time and they've shut down half the road. Okay, we're nearly there. So in terms of this low information strategy, you've got to realize that you're doing combat with other people. The low information is the battlefield of the future or of the present. And at the moment, the battlefield is owned by people in the low information space, and that's on the management space. Now, the technical space, we're starting to make ways. And so in order to get through that, there's ways, the basic intelligence gathering, and that the intelligence gathering is the mathematics of intelligence gathering. Now, the other is the training. Again, it's would be also infantry training. You train your infantry up to be extremely adaptable and always being able to prepare. If they're stopped on one task, they can go on to another because they've got an agenda that, I think it's called Know the Commander Commander. But in this case, we're going back to the, there's a strategic plan for everything. So every aspect has a strategic plan. Now, what happened here is that that failed. Then I moved on to a second thing. It was sort of never by one sensor, by two sensors of slightly different types. The second sensor was an IC squared one, which is this advanced localized internet. So if you can imagine the big internet, you build a microscopic internet and put your sensors on that internet. It's sort of like this really, well, it's really cool, and I sort of like it in many, many ways. And I just got that working at no time whatsoever. So the first time it was really bash your head against it. Then the next time is, now this went along, and then the actual sensor had a wire drop off it. Now, and so down tools communicate with a sort of friendly thing that this is the area. But the thing is that I'm now ready to move on to the next level here, because I can now configure these load cells in a new way, never done before, as far as I can see, never been done before, to make them exquisitely sensitive. And that is, you know, micrograms where it should only be sensible to a gram, or milligrams where it's only sensible to a gram. I can reconfigure that. So that's out there. So I want to move on to this next stage, knocking it over. So now what's happened is while this is brought down, the I got the shipment in of the new ultra compact the Dehasse pendulum. So the Dehasse pendulum used to be about the size of a dinner plate. Now it's a handheld size of a mobile phone. It's a large old clunky mobile phone. Just get myself out of here. And so what's happening is that it's always going forward, never in reverse. So I'm just really trying to think of it. When I think of that, I do think of these, this Starship Enterprise boldly go to boldly go. They seem to have sort of an episode. This is slightly different. This is going ahead, and the Starship Enterprise had basically management sitting on top of a starship, which is pretty interesting in terms of you had the manager, whoever his name was, would make decisions at the top. And so I think that Starship Enterprise is people's view of the future, but the actual view of the future is a lot more complex. This is where the entire thing of the ability of the Internet of Things to adapt. You know, if one component falls down, it can work out a new way of going ahead. Or if, in terms of components and stuff like that, its use hasn't turned up, it's got a second grade use. And I've definitely produced the maths for that. So that's just a heads up on the overall strategy behind the equipment strategy for low information going forward, which is opposed to a management strategy where I get investment capital in and I say, trust me, you don't know, but I know, you've got to trust my that knowledge gap. And I should address that knowledge gap idea is a key aspect to modern economics. Okay, that's enough for tonight, and I'll continue off on that.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. may you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.